This Shabbos is going to be Parashas Paro. We're going to read Shmini. We're going to read Parashas Shmini in the first Sefer Torah. In the second Sefer Torah, we're going to learn read the beginning of Parashat Chukat, which talks about somebody who has become defiled, impure spiritually, tamei, through contact with a dead body. So the halacha is that one must go through the process of having the waters of the red heifer sprinkled upon him. The ash of the red heifer in living waters are sprinkled upon the person on the third day, and then the seventh day, and then he goes to the mikveh and he becomes tahor. So of course, the practical reason why we have a special parashat para, because in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, and Meheda and Yitz Hashem, Yivonei Beit HaMikdash, so therefore we will have to bring Korban Pesach. To bring Korban Pesach, one has to be spiritually pure. One has to go through the process of purification. So this is another one of the reminders before the following Shabbos, that's going to be Parshas HaKodesh, that we're getting ready for Pesach. Pesach is around the corner. In fact, the Arba Parshot, I would say, are not only a process of preparation for Pesach, they are also a spiritual process in which Parshat Shkolim represents the idea that Klal Yisrael becomes united, because each person is only half a shekel. I can be a full shekel only together with somebody else. The first step that has to be taken by the Jewish people is unity. And oh boy, we need unity. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to do it. The second parsha is Parshat Zohar, which talks about the eradication and the removal of evil. Evil has to be destroyed from upon the face of this earth. In Parshat Barah, this parsha that we're talking about, you will see that there is a process of purification, not merely from tumah, but there is a process of purification from chet, from sin. And then the next is going to be Parshat HaChodesh, the renewal of Jewish history. Jewish history again becoming a vital, viable, and vibrant force in the world. The Haftarah is beautiful. Even if all we will do is simply read and understand the Haftarah, we will already have accomplished a great deal. It happens to be in a chapter of Yechezkel that I love dearly, because a few psukim earlier before the Haftarah, and you know, I always wonder why it wasn't added in the Haftarah, is the great pasuk where Yechezkel says, "Achem Horei Yisrael, mountains of Israel, Anvechem Titenu, give out your branches, Ufer Yechem Tisu, and carry your fruit, La'ami Yisrael, my people Israel, Ki Kerevu Lavo, because the time of their arrival is coming close." This is the famous Kates Hamagulah revealed end of days that we, the Chazal have talked about, and that really have been the hallmark of our period of time. And even though we seem to be withdrawing and retreating from the great process of Geula, I believe it's not true. This is a temporary setback. The process is going to continue. In Yirtz Hashem, I have a great deal to say about that, but I'm not going to say it now. Maybe we'll save it for next Tuesday. All right. The word of God came to me so saying, Ben Adam, son of man. Yechezkel is referred to by God as son of man. We will once explain, because Yechezkel is the one who in the first two chapters of the book sees the heavenly throne. He sees the angels. He sees what most human beings have never ever seen. So God wants to make sure that he knows, despite the fact that his eyes have been opened to see that, he still remains a man of flesh and blood, mortal, Ben Adam. Beit Yisrael Yoshum Ad Makam, the house of Israel, is living upon their land by Yitamu Otah. and they have contaminated her. Bidakam uba'awilotam ketutahanda. They have contaminated and defiled the land. Bidakam uba'awilotam. In their ways and in their doings, the difference between Derech and Alilah, Derech represents a philosophy of life. V'alachta bidrochov, go with the ways of God. Now, depending on what one's philosophy of life is, then Alilah, what he does, flows from that. Both their approach to life, and therefore what they do in life, is wrong. And they have defiled. They have defiled the land with their ways and with their deeds. Like the tumah of a woman who is nidah, their way was before me. Rashi says, you don't have the Rashi, I'll read it. Himshiloh hakosuv lenidah. The pasuk describes the Jewish people as nidah, because the Torah of Anida represents the relationship between God and the Jewish people, even when they sin. Even when they sin, it is like a husband who waits for the moment that his wife will be able to purify herself again, and they will renew their intimacy and their relationship. So the tuma of nida represents the idea, as Rashi says, she is described as a nida shebalo mitzapa. Her husband looks forward. Matai pita her. When will she become clean? The ta'ev lo shuvei leha, and he desires to return to her. So that means, even in a pasuk that if we would read it without Rashi, we would seem to feel that the passage is a complete assault on the Jewish people. In the midst of that assault, there is such love and such affection that is expressed that the tumah of Klal Yisrael in the eyes of God is like the tumah of Nida. And the fact is, the same thing is true in Eicha. It says, Al came, therefore, the nida ha'yosa. She was like a woman who is a nida. In a temporary state of impurity, and more than the temporary state is the husband who looks forward to her purification. V'afitzel kam ha'goyim, v'yizoru v'aratzot, k'darkom v'cha'alilotam shepatetim. So thank you. And because of their sins, I poured out my anger against them. For blood that was spilled upon the land, and with their idols they defiled the land. In this passage, we hear of murder and idolatry. And because of that, I scattered them amongst the nations, by Zoru Baratos, and they were dispersed among the lands. The difference between Ophits and by Zoru is Ophits, I dispersed them from the land. From there, on their own already, they spread out and were dispersed amongst all the nations of the world. And God, I have a feeling, seems to be trying to justify what he did, and then he says, you should know, I judge them according to their way and according to their actions. Like, you know, I really didn't have much choice. I couldn't help myself. And he came to the nations where they had come. And they desecrated my holy name. The Emorlahem. When it was said to them, Am Hashem Ela, this is God's people who may outsold of Sahu, and they have left his land. So what we learn over here, first of all, is an extremely important idea. The idea is the presence of Jews in Chutz Laaretz is Chilul Hashem, is a desecration of God's name. The very fact that Jews live in Chutz Laaretz, because why are weren't they in Eretz Yisrael? They aren't so Yotzol. They went out of their land. Why? God wasn't capable of keeping them in the land? The existence of Jews in Chutz Arts is a Chil Hashem. It's not me, Zionist from Har Nof, you understand? This happens to be Yecheskel saying it in Babel. Just get that straight.
Right.
But what's fascinating is the first word in this pasuk. Vayavoen, he came. The whole parsha is the Lishon Rabim, is in the plural, and that word Vayavo is in singular. Here again we need Rashi. Because at the beginning of the parsha, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, he's referring to the Jewish people in the singular as Beit Yisrael, the house of Israel. So when he says Vayavo, it means he came, means the house of Israel came. Because it says the house of Israel at the beginning of the parasha, so the parasha is in the singular. But the Medrash says so beautifully. Do you know who the singular Vayavo is? God came with them amongst the nations. Kol Mahom Shed Kol, the Gemara says, wherever the Jews went into exile, the Shekhinah went with them. Rashi brings the Medrash HaKadosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo Imahem Ba'Kol, God came with them into the exile. V'hi Ka'ozen. And you know what he did when he came? He inclined his ear to hear what are the Goyim saying. They see all these Jews coming from Eretz Yisrael. What are they saying? He inclines his ears. What are they saying? Ma'omdim hashaboyin, the ones who took them into captivity. You know what they're saying? Are they able to come Hashem? These people are the people of God. V'lo hayolo yecholet lahatzilan, and he wasn't able to save them. And that's why they're here. That's why it's a Chilul Hashem. That's why it's a Chilul Hashem. And Rashi brings this from the Medrash of Eicha. The idea that God is with the Jewish people wherever they are. Honey, can you check by the desk to find out whose silly car alarm is going off over there? And if it's mine, don't tell him. The idea that God is with the Jewish people wherever they go into exile is something we've discussed in a number of Shiurim over the past few years. It says, for example, at the end of Torah, the Shav Hashem Lokechmo, Eshvudcha, God is going to return your captivity, V'nichamecha, and he will have great mercy upon you, V'shav V'kibetz, Hamikol Ha'am, and he's going to gather you in from all the nations where you are. So Rashi there says, V'shav Hashem Elokecha et Shvudcha V'heishiv lo ne'emar. It doesn't say V'heishiv he will bring back. V'shav he will return. Hichdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God wrote about himself that he's going to return. V'shav Hashem Elokecha, God is going to return. You know why he's going to return? Because he goes out with them too. Iti mi Lebanon kala, iti mi Lebanon tabawi, a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where God says, with me you will come back to Eretz Yisrael. And there Rashi as well points out, so they have to understand that when we came back, it's what? God is going to be schizophrenic? Half of him here and half of him out there? No, he's here and he's waiting for them to come. He's waiting for them to come. Now, if I made anybody feel guilty, I'm thrilled. By the way, I should have said that. What I mean more is that if I've made most of you feel very good, that's really what I had in mind. Well, Hashem Kashi, God says, I have mercy on my holy name. Hashem Shulu, Beit Yisrael, Beit Yisrael, have desecrated my name. By putting my share of bones shone amongst the nations where they came there. By their being there. That's what they've done. Lachain. Therefore, or we better stop moving over here. And one of the Israel say to the house of Israel, Koama Hashem, the king, so says God, Lo, Leman, Chemani, Yosef, Beit Israel, it's not for your benefit that I am doing this, O house of Israel, Kiyam L'shem Kodshi, I'm going to bring you back because of my holy name. Asher Chilaltem Bagoyim, Asher Batem Sham, that you've desecrated amongst the nations that you've come there. V'kidashti, I am going to sanctify Et Shmi HaGadol. I'm going to sanctify my great name. Hadachulo Bagoyim, that is desecrated amongst the nations. Oh, boy, is the dimension keep, you know, he keeps repeating it and repeating it to make sure you should know the Chilul Hashem is because you're there. The Kiddush Yitzchni Hakadosh and Chulo Bagoyim Asher Chilalten B'Tocham V'Yadu Hagoyim, and the nations will know Ki Ani Hashem Hashem Elokim V'Kotchi V'Chem Leinem, when I will become sanctified through you before their eyes. That's when my name will be sanctified. And that can only come how? How can God sanctify his name? The Lokati Etchem, and Agoyim, I will take you from amongst the nations. The Kibasi Etchem, and I'm going to gather you in from all of the lands. The Heveti Etchem, and I'm going to bring you to your land. Now I want to point out, I made a cheshbon, and you can make the cheshbon with me. Why are there 4 cups of wine on Pesach?
Keneged
Arba'at L'Shonot. So a lot of 4 terms of redemption that I used at the beginning of Pesach. For Eidah. V'Hotseisi, V'Hitzalti, V'Gra'alti, V'Lokahti. Not V'Heveisi. V'Heveisi, and I will bring it to Eretz Yisrael, that's the 5th. But we have Arba Kosas Keneged, V'Hotseifi, V'Hitzalti, V'Ga'alti, V'Lokahti. I will take you out, I will rescue you, and I will redeem you, and I will take you unto me as a people. If my arithmetic is correct, there are going to be, in these next few psukim, there are going to be 12, no less than 12 terms of redemption. So, you know, I have a right there, and if I have 12, I say that it represents all of the 12 shvatim are going to be brought back to Eretz Yisrael. I will take you from the nations, I will gather you from all of the lands, I'll bring you, I will bring you alad matchem, v'zorakti aleichem mayim tahorim, and I will sprinkle upon you the waters of purification, utahartem, and you will become pure. Now you see, of course, that there's a relationship. This is the relationship between the Haftorah. This is the relationship between the Haftorah and Parashat Chukah, Parashat Torah. Because in Parashat Torah, it's talking about the sanctity, the purification that comes through the sprinkling of the waters of the Red Heifer. The parasha talks about the Hizor Ish HaTohar, the pure one, shall sprinkle the waters upon the one who was unpure. V'zorakti aleichem mayim tahorim utahartem, and you will become pure. Mikol tumotechem umikol gimulechem, from all of your impurities and from all of your idols, atahedechem, I will make you pure. This passage is going to be an extremely, extremely significant passage, and we're going to come back to it. V'natavi lachem leiv chadash. Is it my car? All you have to do is 4-4. Oh, no. Somebody has to know my code. I don't know, it's most probably an onesh min hashamayim for something. What did I do to the surface? All right. V'no pravi lachem leiv chadash. Yeah. But you see, my heart told me that it might have been my car. I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will give into your midst. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. Then I'm going to give you a heart of flesh and blood.
This is one of the 12.
Yes. The Natati and the Hasidoti, all you have to do is the Natati twice. Yes. Yeah, all of them count into the 12.
But we have four, and here's three.
In the Torah, there are four, but here we're going to have 12.
But in this one pasuk, chashal, so what? Three. It doesn't matter.
Why should it matter?
Okay.
Why should it matter? We can have all 12 in one pasuk. Then Ruchia takes to the of my spirit, I will place in the midst. Was speaking, I'm going to make it that you shall go in my statutes. What are we going to read the Torah of the Shabbos? Zot Chukat HaTorah. Zot Chukat HaTorah. Do you know what the great message over here is? That we're obviously going to reach a point that without God's active intervention, we're not going to be able to purify ourselves. There's going to have to be an act of God, great miracles. And we can try our best, you know, we'll have Eshat Torah, we'll have Ursa Mayor, and we'll have all of these various outreach organizations. But in the final analysis, the great Makare Berchokin is going to be God Himself. Shalom, shalom, l'rachok v'l'karov, Omar Hashem. God says, peace be unto those who are near and those who are far. And I'm going to make that you should go in my chukim, umishpatay tishmeru v'asitem, and you should keep my statutes and do them. You shaft them, Boaz, and you will live in the land, you will dwell in the land. Asher natati la, I will take them that I gave to your fathers. V'yitem li la'an, and you will be unto me as the people of Anokhi, Eyalchem l'him, and I will be God unto you. V'ahushati, and I will say to be called to my bedroom from all of your impurities. The karati al adog, and I'm going to call to the grain here, paid to, and I will give it to you in abundance. Although I pay alechem rov, there will no longer be hunger upon you. The herbati at prehites, and I will make the fruit of the tree
plentiful.
That's why I said the prophet that precedes this is Adam Hori Israel, Antochem Titanium, Ferdicham Tissel. And that which comes out of the field, no longer be the shame of the hunger amongst the nations. You're going to remember your evil ways, and the deeds that you did, Ashalom, Tovim, that are not good, Unikototem, you will be upset with yourselves. You're going to feel bad. Why did I do that? Like your sins and your abominations. Nachamo. Not for my sake, right in the self guard, the king. Ye bought our hand, you should know that. Both to be cold, me that you can raise the door. Be shamed and be embarrassed from your ways, house of Israel. We gotta keep going. We just gotta keep going. Come, our Hashem, the king, so says God. Beyond Tahari et Chem, the day on which I will purify you, me call, I'm gonna take him. Thou shaft yet orin. I'm going to inhabit the cities, and all that was destroyed will be rebuilt. God forbid it should never be destroyed, but if God forbid it will be destroyed, it will be rebuilt. Man, little puny man, cannot undo that which God has wrought. Man may think he can, it's not going to work. In the longer view of history, it's not going to work. The important thing, of course, is that we pray that we should see it all be amenable. And the land that was desolate is going to be worked. I'm Purim, somebody delivered to my house, I think the Muslims have been giving it out all over, a disc of Gush Katif. I looked at that disc, I started crying like a baby. They show all the fruits and the vegetables, the beautiful land that was once absolute sand. Sand! And they turned it into a Gan Eden. And that Gan Eden, God forbid, has been destroyed. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. God said that the desolate land is going to be worked. In place of what was once desolate. Lady call over there, anybody who passed by there said, this place is desolate. You can't do anything over here. And 25, 30 years ago, Jews came there and said, what are you doing? Oh, we can't do anything about it. Of course we can. We can turn it into a Gan Eden, which was exactly what they did. The Amru, and they said, Ha'ores, Ha'lezu Ha'meshamah, this desolate land. You know what's happened in this desolate land? Ha'itag Gan Eden. Come like the Garden of Eden. Ve'elarim ha'echorevot, v'ha'meshamot, v'ha'meherasot, b'tzurot yoshavu. And the cities that were destroyed and were desolate and were shattered have now been settled like fortresses. Like fortresses. What are you talking about? Anybody who was here in Eretz Yisrael in the 40s and the 50s, you can take a look at Eretz Yisrael today. It's unbelievable what's taking place over here. The Yadu HaGoyim, Asher Yisharu Sinotechem, the Goyim who will remain around you, they will know, Ki Ani Hashem, by God, Baniti Haneher Asot, I'm the one who built that which was shattered. Notati Haneshama, I am the one who planted in that desolate land. I'm the one. Ani Hashem, I God, Dibarti, I said it, Vasiti, and I did it. And nobody will be able to undo it for any length of time. Last two psukim that we Ashkenazim had, I think that's it. Ashkenazim were yes. Kol Hashem so says Hashem lekim also tigareish lebeit Yisrael. There's one other thing that I'm going to do for the house of Israel that I will agree last supper him. Our bel tam, I'm going to multiply them kitzon adam, like shepsalach, human beings. Are going to just multiply like sheep. What kind of sheep? Kitzon Kodeshim, like the holy sheep. You know what the holy sheep are? And here's another relationship between the Torah and the upcoming Yom Kippur. The sheep of Korban Pesach. Kitzon Odom. Kitzon Yerushalayim Pemoadeha. Like the sheep in Yerushalayim and Yom Kippur. So shall be the destroyed cities. Malayot, they will be filled of Tzon Adam, the Yadu, and then they will know Kiyami Hashem. That will never be destroyed again. Now, turn over to the other side. What I have is very familiar to you all. It is the second half, the last half of the last Mishnah in Masechet Yoma. Everybody knows this Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate are you, O Israel. Lifnei mi atem mitaharin, before whom are you purified? Mi mitahir etchem, who is the one that purifies you? Now we're going to have to understand what are these two questions. What was left out from the first question, that the second question is, before whom do you become purified? And who is the one that purifies you? And Rabbi Akiva gives the answer, Avichem Sheva Shemayim, your Father in Heaven. Shene'emar. This is a pasuk you already know because it's a pasuk in the Haftarah. V'zarakti Alechem, I will sprinkle upon you my Tahorim, pure waters, and you'll be pure. V'omer. And there's another pasuk that Rabbi Akiva quotes. This is not a pasuk in Yechezkel, this is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Mikvei Yisrael Hashem. Now you have to understand, the meaning of the word mikveh in this passage means God is the hope of Israel.
Tikvah.
The Akiva is using it in a different way. That God is the mikveh in which one immerses oneself. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Now this is of course using Rabbi Akiva's license, but we will soon understand what the depth of Rabbi Akiva's statement is. And Rabbi Akiva continues by saying, Ma mikveh mitaher et atzmein, just like a mikveh purifies Those who are impure, at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mitahed Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, he purifies the Jewish people. There's a great shear from our salvation, which our salvation says that Rabbi Akiva in this homily, Rabbi Akiva here is making an equation. The equation that he's making is the following. Sin equals Tumah, being the father. Tahara equals Shuvah. The process by which one rises from the tumor, the defilement of sin is through tshuva, which means tshuva equals process of purification. Sin equals tumor, and tshuva equals tahara. Thus says, there are two kinds of tahara. There are two means by which one can become purified from tumah. We're not talking about sin now. We're talking about tumah. One is, for most forms of tumah, what is required is immersion in a mikveh, a zav, a zava, a nida, one who came in contact with different carcass of an animal. There are all sorts of things that transmit tumor. And the usual means by which to remove this tumor is by immersion in a mikveh. There is a second kind of purification. And that purification is in the event that somebody has become defiled by virtue of contact with a dead body, tumat made. Over here, immersion in a mikveh is not enough, but over here, which is the master for this Shabbos, is the description that they have to take a red heifer that has no hairs of any other color, and it's supposed to be burned, and its ash is supposed to be brought to the Beit HaMikdash. It's supposed to be mixed with waters, living waters, and sprinkled, as we said earlier, on the seventh day and on the third day and on the seventh day. So here is a process that it is not mikveh. This is a process already that is ma'in tahorim, are sprinkled upon the sinner. There's a difference between the two. The difference between the two is mikveh. Mikveh is something that is completely dependent on the person who is tamei. He has to make the decision that he's going to go to the mikveh, he's going to go down into the water, he's going to bend down so that the water should cover him, and then he's going to rise. Every step of the process is something that depends completely and solely on him and no one else. Tumat meit, man is incapable. Absolutely incapable of rising or purifying himself from this tumah. He's going to have to come to the Beit HaMikdash. He's going to have to stand before the Kohen outside. He doesn't enter the Beit HaMikdash because he's not permitted there. By the way, he is permitted on Har HaBayit. We once talked about that. Tumah Meit is permitted on Har HaBayit, but not, God forbid, into the confines of the Beit HaMikdash. Har HaBayit is a big place, and maybe one third of the area of the Temple Mount is really the place where the Beit HaMikdash once stood. And the Rambam makes it very, very clear. Tameh Meit, a person who has become defiled to a dead body, is permitted on Har HaBayit, but is not, under any circumstances, permitted into the temple compound itself. And as I say, Harabayit is quite large, so that the person whose Kohen made was able to come up to Harabayit, and the Kohen there on Harabayit would sprinkle upon him on the third day and then on the seventh day, until finally the Tumat Meit, he goes to the mikveh on the seventh day, it's all over, the next day he is permitted to come into the Beit HaMikdash itself. So So that mikveh, as we say, mikveh depends completely on the person who is defiled. He has to do it himself. Nobody in the world can do it for him. The opposite is the case with hazor, the sprinkling. Vizorakti aleichem, I will sprinkle upon you. The tomei cannot sprinkle the waters of the bet hefer upon himself. It always has to be that a pure person sprinkles the waters upon the one who is impure. Mikveh Dagov says is self-liberation. Hazor must always involve another. Rabbi Akiva is teaching us over here that there are two types of tshuva. One is comparable to mikveh, which can a tshuva that can be attained through a person's own initiative. And then there is a sinner who is simply going to be incapable of doing tshuva without a hand extended to help him. And we'll discuss in a moment who these two types of sinners are. So he says the following. For example, the Gemara tells us words of the Gemara, Rav Elazar, on the wall of the Gemara, says that they said about Rav Elazar ben Jerdaya that he committed terrible sins. And finally comes a moment in which he decides he's going to do tshuva. So he said, Horim goes back to alive Akman, mountains and hills, ask God for mercy for me. Shomayim v'ares, back to alive Akman, head of earth, ask God for mercy. Chamol levana, the sun and the moon, back to alive Akman, ask for mercy. Kochavim u'mazalos, back to alive Akman. Until finally, nothing happens, and he said, Ama, ein hatova tolui elapi. It depends on me and me alone. He put his head down on his lap and he groaned and cried until he died. Yotzosov Bas called the Amra, a voice came out from heaven and said, Abalaza ben Duritaya, Mizumam Lechaye Lailahabai has a place in the world to come. There is a form of hate that man himself must do tshuva, and he is the one who's capable of doing tshuva. In B'chol Aminim on Yom Kippur, we say, Hatzofel Rosho V'chafetz B'Hitzadiko, God looks out toward the evil and wants them to do tshuva. That means God is looking and watching, and he's waiting in order to that the sinner should do tshuva. Hapoteach sha'ar ledotkei b'tshuva. God is the one who opens up to the gates for those who knock on his gates and want to do tshuva. Then of course there's a Gemara says that God tells the sinner, pitchuli petach kipitcho shel makad. Open up for me the door, like the hole in a needle, and I will open up for you to pitcho shel ulam, like the entrance into the Beit HaMikdash. Massive doors I will open. But the step has to be taken by man. He is the one who has to take the first step. Ad yom moto techakelo, we say in Elah, until one's death, God waits for him. In Yashuv, if he does tshuva, miyad tekablo, immediately you will accept him. Immediately you will accept him. That means there's a certain type of sinner where God isn't going to go out looking for him, but if he takes the significant first step, then he's going to have siyata d'shmaya. We can even relate that to what I said last week about Esther or about Gold. If you've taken out the jack and you put the jack under the car and you've already begun the process of doing what has to be done, and anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about, that's okay. But the inner in a crowd, you know. The old boys will live. No, 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 no. If you've taken out the check, then there's going to be Siyata Deshmaya, then there's going to be the... God is going to come to one's assistance.
Better be.
You know, it's so simple. Like God helps those who help themselves. That's all. You have to take the first step. There's a second kind of tshuva. The second kind of tshuva is the tshuva that is similar to the second form of tahara, which is hazor, sprinkling. Sprinkling means that it's not man who's doing it. There's another agent. There's another agent that begins the process of purification. Chazal even say on the pasuk in the Maftar, the pasuk in the Maftar that says, "Behizor hatohar al hatame," the pure one will sprinkle upon the impure one. Who is the ultimate pure one? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chodo B'Atzman. What do we say in the Elah? Aton Otein Yad L'Poshim. You extend the hand to the sinners, to the rebellious ones. You extend the hand. Extending the hand means that this is a whole new story. This is not something that depends exclusively on the sinner himself. It's not the sinner who is required to go into the mikveh and bow and bend and do tshuva and all the rest. There's another form of tahara, and that form of tahara is something but that comes directly from God Himself. There are two times for tshuva. There's tshuva all year, and there's tshuva on Yom HaKippurim. The difference between tshuva a whole year and tshuva on Yom HaKippurim is tshuva a whole year is like going to the mikveh. It has to be initiated and it must be done and completed by the one himself who is coming. The tshuva has to begin, and yes, with the Siyata Deshmaya, it will ultimately be ended by man himself. But then there's tshuva on Yom Kippur. Tshuva on Yom Kippur, where Itzumehu Shel Yom Mechaper, the day itself is that which brings forgiveness and atonement. You know why? Because God is there waiting on Yom Kippur in order to purify. We say it by Kol Nidre. All right? Okay? The way it is, we say it by Kol Nidre. Lifnei Hashem Titharu. Before God, you will be purified. You will be purified. Because on Yom Kippur, that's the last chance already. And certainly when we get to Ne'ilah, and that's why by Ne'ilah we say, Ata Notein Yad LaPoshin, you extend your hand to the sinners, because this is it. If not now, Im La'ashav, if not now, when? So the one who was not able to fulfill or complete or maybe even begin the process of tshuva, and it's Ne'ilah time already, so the relation was the one, okay, give me a hand. It's like somebody who has to jump over a ditch. He's afraid he won't make it. And then there's a hand that comes out and takes him across the great abyss. He moves from being one kind of a human being to a completely different kind. He moves from Tumah to Tahara. During the course of the year, there are really basically two Haftarot. If we're talking about Haftarot, this is certainly time to talk about Haftarot. There are two Haftarot. One is the famous Haftarah of Yom Kippur. And then on other fast days, there's the regular Haftarah that we say on all fast days. We said it on some kind of Sester. Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo krohu b'yoso karov yazov rosho darko v'yish oven mashlotav yosho Hashem b'rachamenu ve'el kem k'yabrasa. I'll repeat it. Just listen to it. And you'll already hear exactly what it's saying. Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo, seek out God when he is found. Kro'u, call unto him, b'yoso karov, when he's close. Yazov rosho darko, let the rosho forsake The path on which he goes, the Ish Oven and the sinner should forget all of his evil thoughts. The Yoshua Hashem, and if he should return to God, and he will have mercy upon him. The El Elkeinu, let him return to God, because there's a great deal of forgiveness and atonement. What's the whole pasuk talking about? Upon whom is the onus placed? It's all placed upon the sinner. Seek him, call to him. Forsake your evil ways, remove your evil thoughts. And then, what is the Shol Miderech Ami? God says, soul, pave the road. Harimu Michshol, remove all the obstacles. Miderech Ami, from my people. God is saying, Nana, I'm going to make it easier for you. And Yom Kippur is God who begins to act. And Yom Kippur is a process of Tahara. You know what kind of process of Tahara it is? It's the process of the Zorakti Aleichem, our Haftorah. The Zorakti Aleichem, my Torah. I am the one who is going to sprinkle upon you the waters of purity, and you will become Tahar. Two different kinds of tshuva. There's the tshuva that's dependent on man, which is the purity of mikveh. There's the tshuva that man is incapable of doing, and that's the tshuva that is dependent upon God. And that tshuva that's dependent on God, the tahara, is called the zarakti aleichem. What's the difference between one sin and another sin? Why is one sin man is capable of purifying himself, and why is there another one where God is, where it's necessary for God to purify him? So the God says, a person who sins because he simply gives into temptation. There's a lot of temptation in the world. There's a lot of things that look very good. We're living in a society that's a hedonistic society. We're influenced by friends. We're influenced by the whole world. You can always get by anybody for a few bucks. I mean, there's so much going on in this world. It's a world of temptation, and it's very difficult sometimes to withstand it. That person's mind or his philosophy is in the right place. He knows that he's weak. He knows what's right. He knows what's wrong. But he gives in. He surrenders to temptation. That's most sinners. That kind of a person is eminently capable one day of saying, "Genug, I had it." And he's going to go through the process of tshuva. But what are you going to do with somebody whose sin is not because he gives into temptation? It's because he has, and for lack of a better word, I use a philosophy of life. It's not a philosophy of life, it's a philosophy of sin. But he believes certain things. The person who believes certain things has absolutely no reason to decide one day that what he thinks is wrong. By the way, most people have the greatest deal of difficulty deciding that what they believe in is wrong. We're all convinced, even them out there, everybody's convinced that what they believe in is right and is yosher, is correct, and all the rest. And I'm not going to go into all sorts of examples, because we'll stay here until, I would say Tuesday, until Tshuva Day. Until, because, I mean, there are people who have, they have a completely different definition than we have about what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's not good. There's such confusion. There is such confusion in the world out there. I know I'm okay. I assume that you also are okay, but the rest of them out there. There's such confusion that reigns out there. The person whose mind is confused, how is he going to do tshuva? He can't. Unless and until there's going to be the moment of grace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Zarakti aleichem mayim tovim." I will begin that process. One of these days, I'm going to give a bang on the table and say, "Shaytim shepoilam, you fools. Don't you see that what's going on over here is a process of rebirth and renewal? Who planted the plants? I planted them. Who built the cities? I built the cities. Who's done all of this? This is my work.
You want to undo my work? You're crazy. You're out of your mind. Ani Hashem, notati, vaniti, hoshavti. I did it. I did it. But for a person who's been living for the last 30 years with the idea that we are sinners, we're conquerors, we're occupiers, we're SS, we're Gestapo, and all of that, they can't believe otherwise. They're going to need somebody to knock sense in their heads. And I'm not going to be able to do that. I can't. Let's give it up. All right? The thing she was going to have to do. Let's go back to Rabbi Akiva.
Where is Tumat HaMeit for?
Zorakti is Tumat HaMeit. Meit is, you know that? I'll tell you. No. When a guy's brain dead, when a guy's mind doesn't see the truth, that's Tumat HaMeit. He thinks there is no God. He thinks he planted and he plowed and he built. No. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Ashrei Yisrael, you are fortunate Israel. Now watch, he asks two questions. Lifnei mi atem mitaharim, before whom do you become purified? Umi mitaher etchem, who purifies you? Now we understand exactly what Rabbi Akiva was saying. There is one kind of sinner, lifnei mi atem mitaharim, before whom do you purify yourself? That's the one that's able to pick himself up and go down into the mikveh. And then there are others that will not be able to do that. They're going to need the sprinkling of God upon him. And you know how the Rambam refers to the waters? Mei Hadad. The waters of intelligence, of mind. Avichem Shabashamayim, your Father in heaven, Shenema. And now he says, corresponding to me, Netahed Etchem, who purifies you, he says, V'zorachti Aleichem Ma'im Torah V'Torah, this is God who's going to take the initiative. He's going to extend the hand. He's going to do the job. He's going to initiate the process of Tahara. There's another passage that says, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the mikveh in which you go down in. You know, he's there with you, God is there with you. Man mikveh metaharas atmeim, just like a mikveh purifies us, those who are tamei, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metaharas Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who purifies Israel. So that there are two forms of chet, there are two forms of tshuva, there are two forms of tahara. And what's most significant, I believe, is that this Haftorah, the Haftorah that's describing the third return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael, our days, the rebuilding, the replanting, we just may not be able to do the job. And you know what's going to be necessary? The Zorakti Aleichem Ma'im Taharim U'Taharim. God is the one that's going to have to sprinkle the waters upon Klal Yisrael that they should come to their senses. Yehi Kein, Yehi Ratzon.
Amen.